At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
In just a moment, Autolite presents Suspense with Herbert Marshall. 'Twas the night before Christmas, and in Santa Claus' sleigh, the electrical system was plenty okay. The ignition was perfect, worked like a dream, and the sleigh ran so smooth it made Santa beam.
What was Santa's secret, Otto?
I heard him exclaim as he drove out of sight, "It's no secret at all. It's just Autolite."
Now, Otto.
You see, Hap, with all the kids in the world depending on old Saint Nick Christmas Eve, he plays safe by replacing old or worn-out parts in his Autolite-equipped car, sleigh, with Autolite original factory parts. Resistor spark plugs, stay-full batteries, distributors, starting motors, coils, generators, wire, and cable. All famous for their Autolite ignition-engineered dependability. Santa does it. Why don't you?
Harlow, let's switch from Santa to Suspense.
Suspense. Autolite and its 60,000 dealers and service stations bring you radio's outstanding theater of thrills. Starring tonight, Mr. Herbert Marshall in Anton Leder's production of John Collier's Holiday Story. A tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
Jingle all the way. Oh, what fun. Just right. In a one-horse open shay. Oh, jingle bells.
Wilfred!
Yes, my dear.
What on earth are you doing down here in cellar?
Why, just doing a little digging.
And why, may I ask, have you chosen this day of all days to dig up the cellar floor?
Well, I thought as the weather's been so damp, this would be a good time to plant that little devil's garden I told you about.
Devil's garden? Whatever nonsense is that?
Oh, that was my little joke about it. You see, I've managed to get hold of the spores of several unclassified wild orchids.
Oh.
In their wild state, they bloom under damp masses of leaf mold. The Araucanian Indians call them devil flowers because they appear to bloom under the ground.
Well, I'm sure the Araucanian Indians will be very interested if you succeed in growing these ridiculous flowers under the cellar floor. Whom else it will interest, I can't imagine. Ooh, what's that terrible smell?
That's the leaf mold. Chemically identical with the earth blanket they grow under in the wild state. I suppose I should line the pit with concrete so as to prevent seepage from this foreign soil, but I don't suppose there'll be much time for it now, and I do want to get these started before we close the house.
There certainly will not be time for it. Do you realize that we're sailing for America a week from today? And you've made no arrangements whatever. Unless you call digging a hole in the cellar making arrangements. I certainly don't. Devil's garden, indeed. Sometimes I think you're going soft in the head, Wilfred.
I suppose it is inconsiderate of me. You see, I've been wanting to try this experiment for a long, long time, but what with my lectures and seminars at the university, there never seemed to be time.
Well, there certainly isn't any time for it now. I suppose you've forgotten I made an appointment for you at the barber's this afternoon.
Oh, no. But, must I shave off my beard, Hermione?
I thought we'd been through all that. Of course you must. They don't wear beards in America. Go get your jacket on and do as I tell you.
Yes, Hermione.
And don't forget to take your umbrella. It looks like rain.
Yes, Hermione.
Oh, don't look so put upon, Wilfred.
No,
Someone has to plan things in this house or you'll never even get to the university in time for your lectures, much less make arrangements for a trip to America.
Oh, I know. But what about my specimens?
There'll be plenty of time to plant your precious devil's garden when we get home from America. We're not going to be gone forever, you know. We'll be back here for the holidays.
Oh, yes, of course, back for the holidays. I'd forgotten.
Well, try to remember it. And if you can't do that, just do as I tell you. I've been making the plans in this house for 20 years. And if there's any digging to be done, I'll manage that as well. You understand, Wilfred?
Yes, Hermione.
Good. You have just 20 minutes to clean up this mess down here and keep your appointment at the barber's. And when you finish there, I want you to come straight home.
Oh, I wanted to stop and pick up some books I ordered.
Well, all right. But don't loiter the whole afternoon browsing over those old books the way you usually do. Now hurry and clear up this rubbish. Get rid of that smelly stuff. And no more digging, mind you.
Yes, Hermione. Yes, Hermione. How many years has it been since I've been saying that? 10 years? 15? 20? Clear up the rubbish. Yes, Hermione. Don't forget your umbrella. Yes, Hermione. Do this, do that. Yes, Hermione. Yes, yes. How much longer can I stand this?
Good evening, sir.
Good evening, Miss Malcolm.
Why, it is Professor Carpenter, isn't it?
You like me better this way?
Oh, you look ever so much younger without the beard. 20 years at least.
20 years.
You'll be glad to know those books you ordered have finally arrived.
Books?
A phytotomy of phalloid gametophytes and coniferous shrubs of North America. Those are the ones you ordered, aren't they?
Yes, thank you. You're very kind, Miss Malcolm.
Why kind, Professor Carpenter?
Not many young ladies in bookshops would go out of their way to look up rare books for an old professor of botany.
Well, you're not old, Professor Carpenter. Really, you look... And besides, I adore botany. It's my particular hobby.
Oh, really?
Yes.
You never told me that before, Miss Malcolm.
I was afraid to. You were so imposing with the beard and all.
And Miss Malcolm...
Yes?
Forgive me if this sounds foolish, but I feel that shaving off my beard is the most important thing I've done for... Well, for 20 years.
Oh, it is. I'm sure it is. I'm ashamed that I've been so distant with you all this time. Oh, there were times when I almost spoke up. Times when you came in here tired after a day with your students at the university. You seemed so alone, the way I'm alone in the world. I'd like to have asked you to stay a while and talk with me. But some way or other, I wound up by giving you your change and letting you go on your way.
You say you're all alone in the world?
Since my father died.
Did you never think of marrying?
My father was a very remarkable man. I never found anyone who seemed to measure up to what he led me to expect of men.
Miss Markham.
It's been so long since anyone called me by my first name. I'd like you to, if you want to. It's Marion.
Marion.
And yours?
Wilfred.
Oh, how long have you been alone, Wilfred?
Alone?
Oh, I knew you were a widower, of course, the first time I saw you.
A widower?
I can always tell. There's a certain sadness in a man's eyes. A sweet sadness, I think, when he's been married and then...
A widower. I never thought of it in quite that way.
Oh, but perhaps I shouldn't be talking like this. But I've often wondered what she must have been like. Your wife, I mean.
Hermione?
Was that her name?
Yes, Hermione. Not an easy woman to forget. Very strong, always managing things. The house, my wardrobe, my friends. When we dined at a restaurant, she even ordered my food. She was always managing things. You might say she... Yes, she managed herself to death.
Poor woman. She must have loved you very much. But she needn't have put herself out so. It's plain to see you don't need things managed for you.
Is that so?
You need companionship, I think. Someone sympathetic with your work. But the last thing on earth you need is a manager.
How well you put it. The last thing on earth.
Well, at last, you certainly took long enough about it. What are you looking so pleased about?
I don't know, Hermione. Getting rid of the beard, perhaps. I feel 20 years younger.
Oh, you look even smaller. Your face looks triangular or something. I'd forgotten your chin was so weak. But never mind that. You can grow it back soon enough after the holidays. Where are you going?
Down in the cellar.
Oh.
I just bought this electric lantern and I thought I'd put it away down there.
Now, whatever possessed you to buy a thing like that?
I don't know. I rather like this lantern. Might come in handy. Who knows?
Now, Wilfred... Don't start digging down there again. I've 100 things to do putting the house in order before we leave. I want you to carry these boxes upstairs for me.
Yes, Hermione.
And if you are going down to the cellar, take this along and stuff it into the furnace.
Oh, this is my old bathrobe. I may need it.
Nonsense. I bought you a new one. Get rid of it. And don't start puttering down there with that devil's garden or whatever you call it.
I'm through digging, my dear. I think the pit is quite deep enough now for my devil's garden. It would all have to be carefully planned, of course. Just as carefully planned as Hermione was planning the trip to America. We both went about our arrangements as the days passed. I spent all the time I could with Marion, and finally she consented. And then it was the last day, the big day. The day we were to sail for America.
Operator? Operator, are you there? I'm still waiting on that call to Salisbury. Well, put them on quickly. Hello? Is this Paul Holt and Sons? It's Mrs. Wilfred Carpenter. Did you receive my letter? Good. Now remember, we'll be back for the holidays and I want the job done without fail. What's that? Oh, no, I'm sure he doesn't suspect anything. Send the bill to me in New York as I instructed you, addressed in my name, of course. Oh, yes, I've already put them in the mail. You'll get them tomorrow. Thank you. Thank you so much. Oh! Here you are, Wilfred. Where have you been?
Backstairs. I dismissed the servants.
Dismissed the servants? But I've asked some friends of mine into a farewell tea. Go and tell them it's a mistake.
I'm afraid it's too late now. They've packed and gone.
You have messed things up properly. How many times have I told you to leave things to me? I make the plans around here.
Yes, Hermione.
You'll have to do better than this when I plan the trip home, or we'll never in the world be back here for the holidays.
Back here for the holidays, back here for the holidays. Must you keep saying that?
Why not? We are coming back for the holidays, aren't we?
And supposing I were offered a professorship in one of those wealthy American universities.
Nonsense. Americans care nothing for botany.
Luther Burbank was an American.
That's different. What have you ever done except muck around in the dirt with a lot of roots and tubers?
They asked me to lecture. That means something.
Of course they ask you to lecture. Americans will pay to hear any foreigner deliver a lecture. Once. Now, there's no use getting yourself in a state about this, Wilfred. No doubt this extra money will come in very handy when we arrive back for the...
For the holidays.
Precisely. And it's no good you're making a joke of it. Heaven knows where you'd be today if I hadn't got a sense of time.
Yes, my dear Hermione.
And as you've been so foolish as to dismiss the servants, you may empty the ashtrays and straighten up this room while we're waiting for the guests to arrive. I'm going upstairs to change. Call me when they get here.
Yes, Hermione. Marion, it's Wilfred. No, my darling, nothing's wrong. My plans are the same, unless you've changed. No. We'll meet in New York and be married there. I'll explain why later. You'll have to trust me. Yes, my darling.
Wilfred?
Sorry, I can't talk any longer. Yes, I'll meet you in New York without fail. Until then, my darling.
Just now?
Yes, Hermione.
Whoever was it?
Freddie. Freddie Sinclair.
Didn't I hear you say something about meeting somebody in New York?
Oh, yes. Old Freddie said he might possibly get over there before we leave. I said, of course, we'd meet him there if he did decide to go.
Seems very peculiar. But then all of your friends are peculiar.
Yes, Hermione.
And just look at your jacket. Have you been digging in that cellar again?
Yes, Hermione.
Well, there's no need for it. You can't possibly get that devil's garden thing finished. Go and change your clothes before the guests arrive.
Yes,
Hermione. Oh, never mind. I see somebody coming up the walk now. Go and let them in.
Yes, Hermione.
Wilfred.
Yes, my dear.
Look out the window. There's Professor and Mrs. Goodenough, but who's that with them?
Huh? Why, it's...
Precisely. Freddie Sinclair. Peculiar, you should have been talking to him on the phone not 3 minutes ago, and now here he is.
Yes, isn't it? But then, as you say, Hermione, all my friends are peculiar.
Not half so peculiar as you. Digging in the cellar an hour before we leave for America. Just look at yourself. And now that I think of it...
Yes, Hermione?
Oh, never mind. Go and let them in.
No, you were going to ask me something. The hole I'm digging in the cellar...
Oh, good heavens, stop rolling your eyes about that way. One would think you were digging a grave down there instead of a storage bin.
Yes, Hermione.
What's that?
I said yes, Hermione.
Oh, bother, open the door and stop saying yes, Hermione.
I think, my dear, I've said it for the last time.
For Suspense, Autolite is bringing you Mr. Herbert Marshall in radio's outstanding theater of thrills, Suspense.
Well, Hap, what kind of presents are you giving your car this Christmas?
My car? Now be sensible, Arlo.
I am being sensible, Hap, because the most sensible thing every car owner can do is treat his car to Autolite Preventive Service and Autolite Factory Parts now. Right now, like Santa does. For with an Autolite checkup now, your car won't let you down later.
Here we go.
Look, Hap, Autolite parts are original factory parts on many makes of our finest cars. The same as those put in the car the day it was made. Resistor spark plugs, stay full batteries, generators, distributors, starting motors, coils, wire, and cable. Your car uses them all, Autolite makes them all. You know, Autolite parts and your Autolite-equipped car go together, like Damon and Pythias, like Duncan and Fife, like Chip and Dale. What's one without the other?
Chip and Dale.
So don't accept parts that are supposed to be as good. Get Autolite parts, for Autolite parts are built for your car, Santa's car, everybody's car.
Arlo, you're wonderful. Why, you've got Santa and everybody switching to Autolite.
So, friends, follow the footsteps of Dasher, Dancer, Dunder, and Blitzen, and whip on down to your nearest Autolite service station or the dealer who sells your make of car, and ask for original factory parts and service.
Oh, okay, Arlo. Right now, here's Suspense.
And now, Autolite brings back to our Hollywood soundstage Mr. Herbert Marshall, starring in a gripping tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
Back for the holidays. Hermione was so positive we would be back for the holidays. That last afternoon, pouring tea for a few friends who had come in to say last-minute farewell, she kept reiterating it.
Now, mind you, Hermione, don't let those Americans lure your husband with one of their fat university jobs. We absolutely must have you with us for the holidays.
He will be back, I promise.
Good. It's not absolutely certain, of course.
Wilfred, what do you mean it's not certain? Of course it's certain.
After all, Wilfred, old boy, you've contracted to lecture for only 2 months.
That's right, but then, of course, anything may happen.
Oh, Wilfred adores being unpredictable. Now, what other man would decide the very day, mind you, before leaving for America, to dig a great hole in the floor of the cellar?
In the cellar?
Yes, he's going to put some unclassified wild orchids down there. A devil's garden, if you please.
Oh, my dear.
Sounds so mysterious.
Oh, my dear.
That's Wilfred, though. It's really quite simple, once you find out what he's up to. Now, take that telephone call he put through to you a few minutes before you arrive, Freddy.
To me?
Of course. Wilfred wanted to surprise me about your plan to meet us in New York next month. Wasn't that why he called? To ask you not to mention it?
But, my dear Hermione, Wilfred couldn't possibly have telephoned me within the past hour. I've been walking in the park since 3.
He didn't telephone you?
How could he? And as for my going to America...
No, come, Freddy, you may as well own up. Hermione has found me out again.
But, Wilfred, old chap, I really don't...
You see what a poor liar Wilfred makes. He's as red as a beetroot.
Aren't you ashamed of yourself, Professor, stringing poor Hermione along like that? And as for you, Freddy, I'm furious. You said nothing to us about going to America.
But look here, old girl. I've been trying to tell everyone here...
Oh, stuff and nonsense. The game's gone on long enough. Besides, we must start getting ready. It was marvelous of all of you to come in to say goodbye. And don't worry about Wilfred's little jokes. I will bring him back for the holidays. You may rely on it.
They all believed her. For years, she'd been promising me for dinner parties, garden parties, committees. And the promises had always been kept. This time, they wouldn't be. I'd seen to that. The servants were gone for good. The farewells all said. I had timed to the minute how long it would take to fill in the hole in the cellar. My devil's garden. Upstairs in the bedroom, I undressed, folded my clothes over a chair, put on my old bathrobe. Then I opened the door into Hermione's room. Hermione, have you a moment to spare?
Of course, dear. I'm just finished.
Then come in here for a moment. There's something rather extraordinary here.
Oh, good heavens, Wilfred. What are you lounging about in that filthy old bathrobe for? I told you to put it into the furnace.
I'll do it today. Yes, I really will. I promise.
Well, high time. Now, what is it you want to show me?
It is in the bathroom here. Just look. Who in the world do you suppose dropped a gold chain down the bathtub drain?
Nobody has, of course. Nobody wears such a thing.
Then what's it doing there?
Well, I don't see anything.
Here. I'll hold this flashlight for you. If you lean right over, you can see it shining deep down.
Such a lot of nonsense. Just as we're... Well, I don't see it, Wilfred.
Go on looking, Hermione. In just a moment...
Wilfred, I absolutely refuse... Wilfred, what are you doing? Take your hands off my neck.
I will, Hermione, just as soon as I finish the arrangements for my trip to America.
What are you talking about?
You thought you were the only one who could plan things, didn't you, Hermione? Well, I've been making some plans of my own this past week. In exactly 1 minute and 45 seconds, you'll be dead.
What?
You see, I've planned it very accurately.
You'll never get away with it.
I thought you'd say that, Hermione, but I will get away with it. You won't mind the smell of the leaf mold down in the cellar when I take you down there today.
What?
Yes, that's where you're going, Hermione. Into my devil's garden that annoyed you so much.
My friends, they all expect me back for the holidays. And if I don't come back, they'll start asking questions.
No, they won't. No, because you'll write them letters, Hermione, on the typewriter, as you always do. They'll be signed H in that neat, cryptic way you always sign your notes to your friends.
Oh, let me up now.
No.
It won't work, Wilfred. You were never any good at planning things.
Ah, but I've changed. I've learned from watching you all these years.
The lecture people in America. They'll be expecting you to travel with your wife.
I will be traveling with my wife, but not my present wife, Hermione.
What?
Fortunately, they've never met you. I'll write a few letters home for you, then fewer and fewer. I might even come back alone in a year or two and sell the place, say you died in America. Nobody will ever suspect that you're lying under the floor of the cellar in this very house.
Wilfred, it won't work, I tell you. That pit you dug in the cellar...
I can assure you, my dear Hermione, it will serve its purpose well.
Wilfred, you must...
Sorry, my dear, I've got to get this done according to plan. You have just 5 seconds to say your prayers.
Wilfred, you must listen. The cellar... Don't do it, Wilfred!
Oh, Stuart.
Yes, sir?
My wife is indisposed. She'll be taking her meals in our stateroom.
For the whole voyage?
Yes, for the whole voyage.
Well, I trust your wife is feeling better this morning, Professor Carpenter.
A little, yes, thank you. Not yet well enough to leave her cabin.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, by the way, here's a copy of the radiogram you sent for your wife last evening.
Oh, thank you. I'll just check it over. But look here.
What is it? Did the typist make a mistake?
No. No, nothing important. She can correct it later. For a moment, I had a feeling that Hermione had been leaning over my shoulder again, correcting what I had written, she always did. I had written a radiogram to Professor Goodenough and his wife. Have not been out of cabin the whole beastly trip. Wilfred well. Doubt will be back for the holidays. The copy read... No doubt we'll be back for the holidays. Exactly what Hermione would have written. Well, the rest of the voyage was uneventful, and Marion and I met in New York just as I had planned. Just as I had planned. Professor and Mrs. Carpenter, we have reservations, I believe.
Oh, yes. We've been expecting you, sir. Boy?
Yes, sir?
Take Professor and Mrs. Carpenter's luggage up to their suite. You know, Mrs. Carpenter, you're quite a surprise.
Oh?
The letter reserving the rooms was so thorough. I was expecting an older, more forbidding sort of person, frankly, ma'am.
Oh, no. As a matter of fact, we are just married.
Yeah?
But my letter reserving the room?
I wrote the letter, my dear, and signed it Mrs. Wilfred Carpenter, just as a joke.
What a cunning old fox you are, Wilfred.
Now that I think of it, I am rather.
Oh, I almost forgot. There's a letter for you, Mrs. Carpenter.
That's peculiar. I wonder who on earth...
Well, we'll find out in good time, darling. Come along. We're keeping the boy waiting. Nothing like a cold, brisk shower to put a man to rights.
Wilfred,
This letter...
Oh, yes, yes, the letter. Yes. Darling, dry my hair, will you?
Yes, dear. It seems to be a bill of some sort from a building contractor in Salisbury.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yes. Oh, bother, dry your own hair.
Right, thank you, Miss. Let's see this bill or whatever it is.
Yeah. It's very puzzling, Wilfred. You were a widower, weren't you? I mean, Hermione isn't still alive.
Oh, good heavens, no. Let's have that.
Yeah.
Dear madam, that's a good one. This is to acknowledge your order together with the keys to your house in Launceston Place. Our men had no difficulty in finding the place where your husband had begun the excavation in the cellar. But apparently he changed his mind at the last moment and filled it in again.
What is it, Wilfred?
Our men will begin digging tomorrow. You may rest assured that it'll be a professional job and will be completed in ample time for your surprise Christmas present to your husband. We are happy to be conspirators with you in this thoughtful gesture and hope that Professor Carpenter will be pleased at the results of our work that he so quaintly calls his Devil's Garden. Very truly yours, Paul Holt and Sons Contractors.
Well, what does it mean, Wilfred?
It means that Hermione was right. I will be back for the holidays. Back for the holidays. Back for the holidays! Back for the holidays! Back for the holidays!
Thank you, Herbert Marshall, for a splendid performance. Mr. Marshall will return in just a moment.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle through the snow. Your car's all hap, it's full of pep, with Autolite, you know.
Right you are, and by Cornelius, electrical problems won't keep your car down when you stop at the shop that features Autolite parts and service. Sure as Kris Kringle means Christmas, Autolite original factory parts and service top the town. So, friends, stop in tomorrow at your friendly Autolite service station or the dealer who sells your make of car and ask for original factory parts and service.
Autolite, you will find Autolite service stations listed in your classified telephone directory under automotive electrical equipment. And remember, your Autolite ignition system is the lifeline of your car.
Yes, friends, and remember, too, Autolite means spark plugs.
Ignition-engineered resistor spark plugs.
Autolite means batteries.
Stay full batteries.
Autolite means ignition systems.
The lifeline of your car.
And now here again is Mr. Herbert Marshall.
It has been a pleasure to appear tonight on Suspense. And it is my pleasure to extend to all of you, for Autolite, Tony Leader and his Suspense cast and crew, and myself, best wishes for the holiday season. Next week, on radio's outstanding Theater of Thrills, you will hear William Bendix in another gripping study in...
Suspense.
Herbert Marshall will soon be seen with Margaret O'Brien in the Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer production of The Secret Garden. Tonight's suspense play was dramatized by Robert Tallman from a story by John Collier. Music was composed by Lucian Morawek and conducted by Lud Gluskin. The entire production was under the direction of Anton M. Leader. In the coming weeks, Suspense will present such stars as Ethel Barrymore, Dana Andrews, Robert Montgomery, Danny Kaye, and many others. So make it a point to listen each Thursday to Suspense, radio's outstanding theater of thrills. And next Thursday, same time, hear William Bendix.
This is the Autolite Suspense Show. While we in North America are enjoying an abundant Christmas, millions of people in Europe are still hungry. Your $10 sent to CARE, C-A-R-E, will go a long way toward putting some less fortunate European family back on the road to health, happiness, and freedom. Good night. Merry Christmas from Autolite.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Big news! Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here, early. Right now at Wayfair, get up to 70% off everything you need for the season ahead. Save on kitchen and dining, bedroom furniture and mattresses, holiday decor, and way more. Now is the time to score big, from seasonal finds to favorites you'll use all year long. Plus, with Wayfair, enjoy fast and easy shipping, with delivery in time for the holidays. Save up to 70% off early Black Friday deals. Shop now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Suspense. Autolite and its 96,000 dealers present Mr. Eddie Cantor in Double Entry, a suspense play produced and edited by William Spear.
Well, a weeping reindeer. What's wrong?
I just lost my job.
Oh, that's terrible, and so near Christmas. By the way, what's your name?
Donna.
Well, tell me, Donna, how do Blitz and Dancer and Prancer feel about this?
Oh, just awful. They've been fired, too. You see, when Santa Claus, he is, or rather was our boss, first heard about your Autolite Stay Full batteries, he decided to give up the sleigh and make his deliveries by car.
Oh, Santa fell in love with those Stay Full features, eh?
I guess so, but I don't know why.
Oh, that's easy. You see, his Autolite Stay Full battery needs water only three times a year in normal sleigh, car use. And then, too, it gives him, pardon the expression, reindeer fast starts, even in the North Pole. And what's more, with those fiberglass retaining mats protecting every positive plate, Autolite Stay Full batteries deliver 70% longer average life than batteries without Stay Full features. That's shown by recent tests based on SAE life cycle standards.
Well, that doesn't make me any happier.
Oh, come on, dear. Cheer up. 'Tis the season to be jolly. Remember, you're always bright with Autolite.
Mr. Cantor appears as Eddie, with Sidney Miller as Sam, his bosom friend, in Double Entry, an unusual story of clerical crime at Christmas time. Altogether, a most remarkable tale of suspense.
It always balances in the double entry system. If it don't, you hang around until it does. Yeah, even Christmas week. That's what I've been doing all my life, keeping books. It's fascinating, positively fascinating. Look at them figures. Beautiful, ain't they? Calligraphy, they call it. That's Greek for beautiful handwriting, you know. I bet in my day I've written billions of figures. Oh, hundreds of billions. And cash? Say, I've handled so much cash, my fingers are calloused. Why, once I even got water on the thumb from licking it to count money. But so what? What's cash? You go along every day counting it, piling it up, never thinking who owns it, never even think about what it will buy. Handling cash is just the same as adding figures. A job. Then, one day something happens that makes you look on things different. There's no excitement in an office, no danger, no heroism. No adventure. Not much chance to risk anything, to do something for a pal. So if a guy gets a chance to do a favor, to help out a pal who's in a jam, well, maybe you look on cash a little different. All of a sudden, cash is more than pieces of metal and bits of green paper. And if it's Christmas week, if it's Christmas Eve, and your pal is true blue, it's even more important.
Eddie,
Freddie, hand me that Dixie cup, will you?
Your ulcers bothering you again, Sam?
Yeah, they're bad. These ledgers are driving me nuts.
You got the wrong temperament for an accountant, Sam. You shouldn't let it get you down.
Things can't go on like this, Eddie.
What's the matter, Alice? Don't Alice understand you?
No. That's not what I mean, Eddie.
What do you mean, Sam?
You wouldn't understand it.
Oh, you always say that, Sam. I'm an understanding guy. That's what Mabel says.
Mabel says. You understand Mabel. Does she understand you?
Certainly, perfectly. A man's wife has to understand him. If she don't, what good is she?
Well, it's a nice way to look at it. If your wife understands you.
Don't Alice understand you?
No, Alice don't understand me.
That's because you don't understand her.
Will you shut up? Sometimes you're so smug.
Oh, lay off, Sam. You can't go on like this.
Like what?
Grouchy all the time. You got something on your mind that Alice don't understand? Try me out. I won't throw no dishes at you.
I can't tell you, Ed. It wouldn't matter anyway. You can't do nothing.
Well, just telling your troubles helps sometime. Talk, Sam.
No.
Talk, Sam. This is Eddie, your friend.
Okay. It's the auditors.
Oh, them guys?
Yeah.
Don't let them worry you. You're head bookkeeper here, ain't you? You tell them. Don't let them tell you.
I'm telling you, Eddie. They're getting awful close.
What are you talking about?
They're driving me nuts.
Why, Sam?
Eddie, I'm light.
You mean...
The books. They're light. They're short.
You mean that...
I'm a crook, Eddie. Yeah, an embezzler. And they're going to get me. Those auditors, they're on to me. I know they are. I can feel them getting closer and closer. Now, after 9 years, they're on the trail, Ed.
You a crook, Sam. I don't believe it.
Oh, I wish I were dreaming.
Why, Sam, you're the fair-haired boy around here. All you had to do was ask.
Ask who? Bartholomew, that tight-fisted
stubborn... It's Alice. She's to blame, I know. She wasn't satisfied with your salary. She wanted ermine, capes, diamonds, a box at the opera. I know she drove you to it, Sam.
Don't blame her, Eddie. This one we can't blame on Alice. She doesn't even know anything about this caper.
Well, if she didn't drive you to it, why'd you do it?
All those kids on the block. They wanted to go to camp. Yeah, that's how it started, Eddie. With unknown benefactory.
You don't make sense, Sam.
Just $100 or so at first. I figured to put it right back. Then the papers come out with unknown benefactor sends 20 kids to summer camp. Oh, that got me. That unknown benefactor.
So that was you, huh?
Yeah. And pretty soon I was taking out $100 here, $100 there, sending it off to all sorts of people and outfits. I sent dough to help the Institute for Aged Cats.
Oh.
Yeah, then I was an unknown contributor to Help Save Vaudeville Movement. And kids. I was always helping kids. A regular Scrooge.
No. Santa Claus, Sam.
Oh, yeah. And it made me feel great. Of course, I'd cover up on the books here with a fake entry, hoping I'd hit on the market and be able to put it all back, you know.
Yeah, but you were always unable to make a recoup. Kept getting in deeper. Sam Crockett, an embezzler, and for 9 years...
Don't say it, Eddie.
9 years. How much did you take in all that time?
$100,000.11. Where am I going to get that kind of money?
I could dig up the 11 cents.
But... Oh, wisecracks. That's all you're good for. Jail staring me in the face.
What do you want me to say? What do you generally say? What do you generally say to your friend when he tells you he's a crook?
I told you because it feels good to get it off my chest. 9 years of hell.
That's why you've been so nervous.
That's where my ulcers come from.
Every night, working late, covering up.
And... Sweating, worrying. Thinking of the ultimate end. The wall's closing in on me, Eddie.
And now... Uh-oh. Yeah. Hello, yes? Yes, Mr. Bartholomew? Send Crockett in? Okay.
My master's voice.
Bartholomew wants to see you. Wag your tail, Fido.
Wag it? I can't even drag it. Say, Eddie, didn't I see the auditors go in there a minute ago?
Yeah. Yeah, come to think they did, Sam.
This is it, kid. Merry Christmas.
Maybe it's not, Sam.
I got a feeling. I'm not scared, Eddie. No, it's a relief. Now I'll sleep nights. Maybe my ulcer will clear up. Oh, but those kids. Those kids are going to take it hard when they read about their unknown benefactor doing time.
$100,000. Holy. Wonder what he did with the 11 cents. Sales tax, I suppose. What a chump.
Your name, Eddie?
Yeah, what about it?
What about it? I'm Fink Freeze. Mr. Flint said to drop in and see if you want to place a bet today.
Flint who?
What do you mean, Flint who? Mike Flint. Ain't your name Eddie?
Sure, but I never heard of Mike Flint. You got the wrong Eddie. My name's Sullivan.
Oh, he didn't tell me the last name. How am I to know? He says look up Eddie in 411 Perry Trust Building.
This is 511.
Oh, for Pete's sake.
Wait a minute.
Huh?
Wait. You say you take bets on horses?
I'll take a bet on a camel if he's running a tropical park.
Are you a bookie?
Well, I ain't no taxidermist, pal.
Say, I may be the right Eddie after all. Got any odds?
Well, if you're on the level, Eddie...
You're in the business. Do I look like a stool pigeon?
Okay, Eddie. Yeah, I guess you're okay. Odds, huh? You want odds? Well, let's see. A tropical park, I can give you 10-1 in the first race. Aleppo, finished last in a field of 9, his only other start.
Let's see the form.
You see, odds is okay if you don't bet too heavy. Play odds like a side bet, Eddie. The thing to play is the jockey, not the horse. Now, you take Sylvester. Won 3 yesterday, 2 on Monday, 1 on Sunday. Oh, he's hot, very hot. He can ride any dog into the money.
Does he ride a long shot today?
No, he's got 2 favorites and 4 short odds nags. He'll win, say, 2 races today, maybe 3, one for Santa Claus.
Say, here's a 50-1 shot. Altruism.
Altruism? I never heard of him.
I got a hunch.
Well, play it, play it. Always play hunches. Let's see who this altruism is. Never raced before.
Then how do you know he's no good?
Well, I don't, but look who he's running against. War Alarm, unbeaten in 3 starts. Test Tube, last year's Gold Cup runner-up. And File Clerk. Oh, say, there's a hunch for you, Eddie.
I ain't no file clerk, and I'm playing altruism if you don't mind.
Okay, Eddie, okay. Just give me your $2.
Is that all I can bet?
Well, no, Eddie, but, gee, I don't want to play you for a sucker.
How about $2,000?
Oh, why don't you tie that bull to a fence?
Will you take $2,000 on altruism?
On the level, Eddie?
Sure as tonight's Christmas Eve.
Where would you get that kind of dough?
Borrow it from the boss.
Well, I'll have to get Flint's okay. Let me use your phone, huh?
Go ahead.
$2,000. Oh, well, that's not stage money, Eddie.
Neither is $100,000. Could you pay off?
Well, sure. Flint will cover any bet I make. Hello. Give me Flint. See, this Flint is a very smart cookie. Maybe he don't want... Oh, hello, Mike? This is Fink. Look, there's a man's got $2,000 he wants to put on a nag called Altruism in the third at Tropical. The odds are 50-1. How about it? Uh-huh. Yeah, but if he wins, Mike... Well, sure, I'm a gambler, but 50 to... Hey! Guy hung up. Funny guy, this Flint. Am I a gambler, he says. Well, okay, Eddie. We'll play $2,000 on altruism's nose for you, okay?
Well, all right, but it's a lot of dough to hand over to someone I never saw before.
Well, I never saw you before either, mister.
Yeah, but what chance are you taking?
Look, quit stalling, Eddie. Are you betting or not?
Okay. Wait till I get the money. Here it is. 1,000, 1,100, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. Makes $2,000.
Thanks, Eddie. What you shaking for? Is this your life savings or something?
No. There's lots more where this came from.
Oh, of course. You're independently wealthy.
Oh, yeah. That's it, Fink. You're a card.
Oh, card. Oh, gee, I almost forgot. Here's my card, and here's your ticket. Now, hang on to it. Might be worth $100,000.
Okay, Fink,
Hey, you all right? You look kind of green.
You've just been looking at too much dough, Fink.
Maybe. Now, you drop around this afternoon about 3. The address is on the card. Your dog is running in. Goodbye, altruism.
So long, Fink.
So long, Eddie.
Hello?
Sullivan, this is Mr. Bartholomew.
Yes, sir.
Speak up.
Yes, sir.
That's better, Sullivan. Sullivan, I want you to send a nice new $100 bill to the 2nd Street Mission. Put it in a plain envelope and don't write anything with it. Wrap it in a piece of paper so no one will know what it is at the post office. I want to send a nice little anonymous gift as a surprise. A nice, crisp $100 bill.
Yes, sir, Mr. Bartholomew. 2nd Street Mission. I may send them a little something myself later. Yeah.
Eddie. Eddie, it's okay. I got by.
What?
I'm clear. That auditor missed it. What's the matter? Aren't you glad?
You mean you ain't going to jail?
Oh, not this year.
Are you sure, Sam?
Positive, Eddie. The auditors are through. Not a chance of getting caught.
Not a chance, Sam?
Not a chance, Eddie.
There could be a slip-up.
No, there couldn't. What's the matter with you? Aren't you glad for me?
Sure. Look, already I'm doing handsprings.
Oh, boy. Of course, it doesn't solve things completely.
You said it.
I'm still short, but that's okay.
Oh, sure.
I'll think of something. I got a whole year. No more unknown benefactors, though.
I'm very glad.
Eddie, I don't quite get it, though. Bartholomew buttering me up. He says, we know everything is in good shape, Sam. No use putting these auditors to any more trouble. Just have them check the cash on hand, and that'll wind it up.
The cash?
Yeah.
Sam, hand me that Dixie cup by the typewriter.
Yeah, sure. You dry?
Very. How are you going to get the $100,000 back in the books?
Oh, I don't know. Why?
Maybe I can raise some dough.
You couldn't raise a Venetian blind. But what are you worrying for? I'm out of a jam.
And I'm in.
What are you... What's on your mind?
Just 2 or 3 years, that's all.
And now I suppose you're going to tell me you've been swiping postage stamps.
Oh, no. Nothing as bad as that. Look, I'm your pal, Sam.
Well, sure.
I'd do anything for you.
Then talk sense.
I hated to think of you in Sing Sing for 6 months, Sam, so... I'm going there myself for a few years.
What do you say?
I took $2,000 and bet it on a 50-to-1 shot at Tropical Park, Sam.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes, I did it.
Yes. Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
No, tell me you're kidding me, Eddie.
I did it for you, Sam, for Christmas.
What?
A guy don't get a chance to prove his friendship very often.
Friendship? You talk of friendship at a time like this? We're both as good as in Sing Sing right now.
And me the longest.
I hope so. Of all the dumb tricks. And you didn't make any entries, huh?
No. Just took it. Just...
Eddie, how'd you come to bet on a horse? You never made a bet. What bookies do you know?
Here's his car. He just happened in by accident.
A truck should just happen by accident to run over you.
Maybe he'd give it back, Sam.
Oh, sure. Bookies are that way. Philanthropists. All of them. Besides, there's probably no such address as this.
Oh, don't be hard on me, Sam. After all, I risked my own neck to save yours.
No greater love.
And maybe this horse will win.
A 50-to-1?
Well?
Let me see that card. All we can do is try and get the dough back.
He was awful nice, Sam.
Oh, shut up. Nice. Look, fake an entry in the books. Then we'll pay Mr. Fink Freeze a call. Friendship.
Yeah, friendship. We're in this together, pal.
Autolite is bringing you Mr. Eddie Cantor in Double Entry, tonight's production in radio's outstanding theater of thrills, Suspense.
Happy days are here again. Jingle bells, jingle
hey,
bells.
Hey, Donner, why the sudden switch? You were sadder than a bride's first batch of biscuits a few minutes ago.
Oh, Santa changed his mind. He's sticking to tradition, and I'm going back to work.
Well, good for you.
It's even better for you. Santa thinks your Autolite Stayful batteries are so good, he's decided to bring one to every car owner.
Gosh, what a wonderful way to be greeted Christmas morning. Imagine finding one of these brawny bundles of endless energy, the Autolite Stayful battery that needs water only 3 times a year in normal car use, all wrapped up in red ribbon under your tree. But speaking of Christmas greetings, friends, I have a card here, and it's addressed to you. It says, may your holiday this year be the cheeriest ever, and it's signed, the Autolite folks. To that, let me add Merry Christmas wishes from all of us on Suspense. Happy holiday to you all.
And now, Autolite brings back to our Hollywood soundstage our star, Eddie Cantor, with Sidney Miller in Double Entry, a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
On the subway up to the bookie's place, I didn't say a word. I just stared at the ads and kept thinking of how I'd messed things up and wondering what Sam was thinking. The window we sat near had bars on it, and I felt I was already in jail. Well, we got to the bookies. It was a great big large room.
The track is now fast at Tropical Park.
Well, if it ain't the millionaire bookkeeper. Hiya, Eddie.
Oh, hello there, Fink.
Welcome to our humble joint. Of course, it ain't like Hialeah.
But it's as close to it as we can get in New York, I know.
This is Sam Crockett, Fink, my friend.
Oh, glad to meet you, Mr. Crockett. Smart man you got working with you. He's going to make himself a pile of dough this afternoon, aren't you, Eddie?
look, fella, this is all a mistake.
Huh?
Eddie had no business betting $2,000 on a horse. The fact is, it wasn't his money.
Well, I am surprised.
You see, he was trying to help someone.
He helped himself to $2,000, huh?
Fink, give us a break and return the money. We'll both go to jail if we don't put it back.
Scratch, look, boy, number six.
I'm very sorry, fellas, but I can't do nothing. I've turned in the dough. I just work here. I can't get that back.
Oh, you've got to help us, Fink.
Look, I'd like to, Crockett, but how can I? This is a business. Now, supposing I ask the boss. He says it's a contract. He can't back out, neither can you. Where would we be if we asked you to take your money back?
Yeah, but don't you see, we'll go to Sing Sing Fink.
2 minutes to post time for the third at Tropical Place. Your bets now, men.
Yeah, maybe those bills were counterfeit. You could tell the cashier the dough's no good, huh?
Now, how can I, Eddie? He can spot a phony from 50 yards.
Look, Fink. The auditors are checking our books now.
All I can say is I'm very sorry, and I hope this nag wins for you.
Tropical,
but I can't do a thing about it.
In the third.
Oh, we're sunk, Eddie.
I'm really sorry, boys. I should have known better than to take your dough.
He sounded like he meant it, Sam.
Well, so what? Come on, let's go.
Ain't you interested in hearing the race over the loudspeaker?
No.
Well, I am. It's me who started this. I'm going to get my money's worth.
Tropical in the third, a correction. Sylvester is riding altruism.
Did you hear that, Sam?
You mean we get a jockey?
Now, don't be funny. This guy Sylvester is hot. He's winning two or three races a day.
They're away at 3:17.
They're off, Sam.
I got ears.
Oh, gosh.
At the quarter, it's Warlarm, Dive Bomber, Calumet Powell, Dunn-In, Westwood O, File Clerk, Valiant Ned, Mashy Niblick, Timid Soul, Golden West, Test 2, Box and Block, Early Riser, and... altruism.
No wonder you got 50 to 1. There's 50 horses.
That's not a race, it's a caravan.
Last place. Now, are you satisfied?
Okay, Sam, let's go. Seabiscuit couldn't win in a crowd like that unless he cut across the infield.
Oh, you sure pick him.
Come on, what are you waiting for?
I'm not waiting. Quit pushing me.
Am I pushing you?
Listen.
Valiant Ned by a length. Warlarm is second. Test tube is third. Dive Bomber fourth, Dunn-In, Calumet Powell, Westwood Ho, File Clerk, Timid Soul, Golden West, Early Riser, Mashy Niblick, Altruism, and Auction Block has dropped out.
That nag is taking the pause that refreshes.
Well, he's come up.
If enough drop out, he can win.
Yeah, the race would have to last 2 days, huh?
Why didn't they run it in heats?
Well, might as well hang around till the end, huh, Sam?
Well, I guess
stretch, so. Valiant Ned is still leading by a length. Test Tube is second, War Alarm is third, and coming up is Altruism.
Did he say Altruism?
He said it. Get the results.
Hey, Porky, how about the finish?
Coming over the wire now, Fink.
Sylvester, ride, boy, ride, ride.
Don't wring your hands. It's too late to pray. The race is over.
Who's the winner?
How do I know? The wire is always a minute behind.
Eddie, we've got a chance. Christmas comes but once a year.
It's too close for comfort. Oh, why did Flint let me take that bet?
The winner of the third at Tropical is Altruism.
No, my horse! Yours, mine, he won! Sam, he won!
No, he won! Like
he won, Eddie! Well, am I a chump now?
You're a champ, Eddie, a champ.
Oh, it was nothing, Sam.
Only a sap could do it.
Thanks, Sam.
Holy smoke, this does it.
Fink, I almost forgot. You gotta fork over the money.
Yeah, that just about busts this joint. Look, how about calling it off?
Remember what you said about contracts?
Well, yeah, if I'd have known they were switching Sylvester on that dog.
Come on, when do we get paid off?
Well, right now, Crockett. Come on over to the cashier.
Cash? Do we have to take cash?
Oh, absolutely. Here, give me your ticket.
Here.
Now, here's the cashier at this window. 100 grand, Speed.
Look, the cashier don't bat an eye. I'm going to take the money.
The cops! It's a race!
How about my dough?
Grab that cashier!
He's going out the back door! Well, the cops jugged everyone in the place. Fink and the other gamblers got away with the 100 grand, and we had to wait until Christmas morning for a hearing, but every silver lining has a rip in it.
Oh, I don't see how they got away. Oh, am I sore. We sit here in the can, and they're off with all that dough.
We were framed, Sam. The whole thing was planned.
Oh, you're crazy. How think no altruism would win? You can't turn on a police raid like a shower bath.
Well, how are we ever going to find those guys?
We won't. And if we do, it won't do us any good. Because you haven't got the ticket anymore. And even if you had, you couldn't force them to pay because bookmaking isn't legal. It's gambling.
Keep on. I love to hear your ultra talk. Oh. And it fits so nicely with these surroundings.
You might as well get used to it. We'll be living in quarters like this for some time.
Quiet, Sam. Here comes the keeper.
And he's got Fink with him.
Good. He deserves to be in jail, the dirty...
Hello, Eddie. I got something for you.
I'm sorry. I'm just not interested in tips, that's all.
Oh, no, Eddie, you don't understand. I just come to say Merry Christmas. And this is for you, Eddie.
For me?
What is that? Open it, Eddie.
Oh, yeah. Look, Sam, $2,000.
$2,000?
That's right. It's all I got. It's my own dough. Mike Flint blew town, so this is the best I can do, Eddie.
Oh, gee, thanks, Fink. Thanks, you're a prince.
Just call him Santa Claus. So there I was, back where I started, at scratch. All I had to do was to put the dough back in the cash drawer. They made us pay a $10 fine, and we got home in time for Christmas dinner. The next morning, we took the subway downtown. Sam read the paper, and I just stared at the ads as usual.
Eddie, quite a story about altruism. Picture of Sylvester. Just a kid, 19, weighs 105.
Look at that ad. It says to spell it backwards. If they want you to read it that way, why didn't they turn it around?
Yeah. Eddie, look.
I don't know why they... What is it, Sam?
Look, this picture. It's Bartholomew.
Where? They've arrested him. What for?
Embezzlement, Eddie.
But that's you, Sam.
Listen to this. Bartholomew confessed to having embezzled company funds to the tune of $250,000 when auditors discovered a shortage in cash of $2,000. So that's why he was hurrying those guys around.
Let me see.
Look.
What a business. Everyone in it is a crook. Hey, Sam. Sam, where you going?
Back to the police station. I'm giving myself up.
Giving yourself up? But Sam...
No, Betty. I'd never sleep again if I escape scot-free. Besides, I'd like to get away from Alice for 6 months.
But Sam... When nobody was looking, I slipped the $2,000 back into the cash drawer, and Sam went to the police and gave himself up. But guess what? They didn't want him. They already had their man. Sam wrote out a confession, offered to show them the books, but they just laughed at him. Called him a publicity seeker. He pleaded with them, but it was no use. Even Bartholomew called him a fool. Imagine Sam fought for the right to go to prison, and they laughed at him. Then he went to the newspapers, even to the district attorney, explaining what he'd done with the money. But they wouldn't believe him either. That's the thing that finally broke Sam's heart. No one would believe that he was the famous unknown benefactor. They told him, "Go on, Santa Claus. Go back to your reindeer." Sam would have preferred a few quiet months in Sing Sing breaking rocks. He could have got rid of his ulcers. He would have got away from Alice. But no.
Hey, Eddie. Hand me that Dixie cup, will you?
Your ulcers bothering you again, Sam?
Yeah, something awful. Keeping ledgers straight is driving me nuts.
Oh, Sam.
Suspense, presented by Autolite. Tonight's star, Eddie Cantor with Sidney Miller.
Well, Eddie, suspense is a far cry from your Sunday night take-it-or-leave-it show.
Oh, not so far. There's a lot of suspense when we get to the $64 question.
Well, to make you feel at home here, Eddie, I've prepared a question for you to ask me.
I'll bet I know the category, batteries.
What else?
All right. Where's the question?
Right here on this slip of paper.
Let's see. It reads, is there anything that uses less water than an Autolite Stayfull battery? Now, isn't that a silly question to ask you, Harlow?
Yes, it is, Eddie. The answer is so obvious. Why, Autolite Stayfull batteries need water only 3 times a year in normal car use.
Any more questions?
No, Eddie, and thank you. Friends, Autolite Stayfull batteries are made by Autolite, who make more than 400 other products for cars, trucks, planes, and boats in 28 plants coast to coast. These include complete electrical systems used as original equipment on many makes of America's finest cars. Batteries, spark plugs, generators, coils, distributors, starting motors, and bullseye sealed beam headlights. All engineered to fit together perfectly, work together perfectly, because they're a perfect team. So don't accept electrical parts supposed to be as good. Ask for and insist on Autolite original factory parts at your neighborhood service station, car dealer, garage, or repair shop. Remember, you're always right with Autolite. And friends, once again, Merry Christmas to all, and to all, good night. Next Thursday for Suspense, Ida Lupino will be our star. The play is called The Bullet, and it is, as we say,
a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
Tonight's Suspense play was produced and edited by William Spear and directed by Norman MacDonald. Music for Suspense is composed by Lucian Morawek and conducted by Lud Bluskin. Double Entry is an original radio play by Robert Minton.
You can buy Autolite Stayfull batteries, Autolite resistor or regular spark plugs, Autolite electrical parts at your neighborhood Autolite dealers. Switch to Autolite. Good night.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
This has been a Cryptic County podcast. To check out our other storytelling podcasts like Let's Not Meet and Odd Trails, go to crypticcountypodcasts.com. We'll see you next time.
You know what ought to happen next? If this was a horror story? That's what ought to happen next.
It did.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.